Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I can honestly say that I've been going to church my entire life. There was probably a six-month period to a year that maybe I didn't go to church every single Sunday night. But besides that, for the last 48 years of my life, I've been in church 3 to 4 times a week. The 3 to 4 services. And there's a few messages that I know when God was calling me to preach, reminding me of his call to preach on my life that the Lord used, and just encouraging words. I remember we've heard the story before about how God used the story of blind Bartimaeus for me to understand an important truth that I need to get to God. I had lived my entire life being in church and understanding about God, understanding about church, understanding about the needs. But that night, God really just hit home. You need God in your life. You need to get to God. And that night opened up a time where I began thinking and praying and just seeking the Lord about what his will for my life was. And it was at this message, in this story at least, I can tell you who the preacher was, but I never kept any notes. But it was during this story that there was truth that was driven home to me, is that God speaks to us and God wants to speak to us. Now, I'm not talking about in some weird way where he speaks audibly out loud. I know God can do anything, but I'm talking about that still small voice. And after hearing a message about how God wants to speak to our heart, God spoke to my heart in a powerful way that night. And on my way home, actually on my way to work, I pulled over the car and had committed my life before about being willing to answer God's call to preach. But on my way to work that night, I pulled over the car and said, Lord, whatever it is you want, I'm willing to do. I remember how he was speaking to my heart was that, hey, I've been after you do this for many, many years, but this is it. It's either now or never, because I'm not going to keep on chasing after you. And so that day, I signed up. I said, Lord, whatever it is you want. I didn't know what it was. Nobody wanted me to be a preacher, which I kind of think is a little bit of a sense of humor that God has, because I'm not the most gifted speaker. But at the same time, I said to God, as he was speaking to my heart, I said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm in. And it's sort of like, are we willing to do that each and every day? Should we get up? Should we not get up in the morning time and say, God, don't know what you have planned for me, but Lord, if there's somebody you want me to talk to, I'll do it. Lord, if there's action you want me to do, sign me up. If there's a battle like David and Goliath, I'm there. If it's somebody that I just need to minister to and try to be a help and a blessing to, Lord, this is not my life, this is your life. And the important thing to understand is the only way we're going to know those things is if we're listening for God's voice, if we're listening to the Lord. And this past week, we were gone with the teenagers, at least some of our teens, and their parents, at least a few of their parents. And we had devotions each and every day. Obviously, we had two messages every day and two different times of devotions. In the morning time, they would fill out some devotions, answer some questions. At nighttime, we would talk about it. The last one was about, are you listening? Because I know what it's like to go and hear preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and have God work and God speak and God move, and then just to come home and not apply it. And the question is, are you listening? There was a president, I think I've told this story before, but I think it's a cute story. There's a president of ours, Franklin Roosevelt, who often complained about receiving lines. He says no one ever listened to him in those lines. He would go down and he would greet everybody. So he decided, I'm going to do an experiment one time. So to each person he shook his hand with, he murmured, I murdered my grandmother this morning. And the guests responded with things like, marvelous, keep up the good work. And he went through this long line and lots of people greeted him. And even though he said it to them, they kept on saying, oh, great job. And the ambassador of Bolivia actually heard what he said. He leaned over and whispered to the president, I'm sure she had it coming. And have you ever talked and talked and talked and just felt like nobody was listening? They only heard what they wanted to hear. God wants to speak to your heart. When's the last time you can say, I know God directed me and God wanted me to do this? And I'm not just talking about being at church. I'm saying, when's the last time you can remember hearing the Lord speak to your hearts? I'm going to read one of the devotions, the last day of the devotion, Are You Listening? It was written about Dr. John Getch's book, A Revival Today. I know that many of you have gone through that in years past. It says, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, which is found in Revelations 2:29. Evangelist Sam Jones was estimated to have preached 1,000 sermons to approximately 3 million people from 1855 to 1886. Jones would have been known for his many quips throughout his powerful preaching. One such powerful quote was this: The roar of commerce, the click of the telegraph, and the whistle of the engine have well nigh drowned out the voice of God. If Sam Jones were alive today, he might say, the app on our smartphone, the news of the television, and the chaos of Wall Street have drowned out the voice of God. Or he might say, the busyness of our schedules, the demands for our time, and the call to leisure have drowned out the voice of God. What has drowned out the voice of God in your life? As Jesus gave his messages to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, he reminded them of a simple truth that would ring clear for all that would read later. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. When is the last time you listened to God's voice? Can you remember the last time you heard his voice? Does God still call today? Oh, yes, he does. But sadly, many of his people have their spiritual phones on silent. They can look at God's message later and respond when it's convenient, but be careful. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. As in the days of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Will you miss the victory and the blessing in your life because you have turned a deaf ear to God's voice? Let him speak to you through his word today. Listen and then obey. If you're struggling to understand God's message, ask the Holy Spirit to be your hearing aid. He specializes in guiding people into the truth. And we asked certain questions that tied into this devotion. And I'd like to read this passage. It's 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I think we're just going to kind of walk through the story a little bit as we read along. It might take this morning and tonight just because there's a lot of things I'd like to bring out in this. I believe the Lord wants us to bring out. But what you have here is a very big contrast. You got a young man who is ministering unto the Lord, and you got Eli, who was the priest of the day, or the high priest of the day. You have one who hears God's voice and wants to respond and responds through instruction. You have another that has gone old and has grown cold to the voice of God, no longer listening to what the Lord had asked, directed him to do, commanded him to do. Let's see what it says in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. The word of God said, and the child, now we see the word child here, and we think of someone 6 or 7, maybe a toddler. That's not what they're talking about here. Most Bible commentators would say probably at least at the age of 12, maybe a little bit older. And 12-year-olds back then would have been a lot different than our 12-year-olds today. Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. We could spend a lot of time here, but there is a couple of things I want to bring to your attention. The first thing I want you to think about is the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. Now, there's a difference between ministering unto the Lord and ministering for the Lord. Ministering for the Lord means, hey, I am doing a job or a service because God has directed me, God has led me, God has told me to do something. Ministering unto the Lord, I believe, is a time where we praise the Lord and we seek the Lord, and he is ministering unto the Lord. But look who he's doing it before. He's doing it before Eli. This is not a service that he's doing for man. Sometimes I think we see, hey, I'm ministering unto these children, or I'm ministering unto my family, and that's great. But technically, what we're really seeking to do is minister unto the Lord by the way that we treat others. And the reason why we do what we do is not because we are happy with someone. There might be someone who you cannot stand or cannot despise, that you despise, but God says he wants you to minister unto them. You're ministering unto the Lord, but you're doing it before these people. I pray you, I hope that you understand that. It's, yes, I know I'm ministering to my church family, I'm ministering to others, but we're doing it unto the Lord because he's called us to do, and he's doing it before these people, and Eli is there, and Eli is watching. Eli, as an older man at this point in time, is there, and he has seen his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, live a life that is so wicked and done so much wrong that they were causing people to actually hate to be going to church. You ever met someone who made you not want to go to church? You ever met someone who, because of the ways that they were, the things they'd done, they caused people to transgress? If you go over in chapter number 1, it says in verse number 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah, talking about, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse number 20. It says, and Eli blessed Elkanah, his wife, and the Lord gave him the seed of the woman for the loan that he, which is lent to the Lord. And they went their way to their home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so she had more children. Verse 22, and Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all of Israel, and how they lay with the women, they assembled at the door of the tabernacle, the congregation, that actually inside the spot where they were supposed to worship God, they were committing sexual immorality. Just how wicked and how unlawful and godless. In verse 23, and he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is not a good report that I hear you make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of the Father, because the Lord would slay them. But then you see, once again, verse 26, there's a difference, a contrast. There's Samuel here. And the child Samuel grew on and was in the favor both with the Lord and also with men. And then there's a man that comes to Eli and says, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in the Pharaoh's house. And I did choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me, and to give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel. Wherefore ye kick at my offering and at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, honors thy sons above me. To make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel say, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord say, if be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation and all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. So this man of God comes to Eli and says, you need to take care of your children. You have not taken care of your children. Because of that, there is a punishment coming. And still Eli chooses not to do what is right. If you go back earlier in chapter number 2, there's a verse that talks about how that they would cause the people of God to even hate to come and worship. Look what it says in verse number 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord, and the priest's custom of that day was that when any offered sacrifice, the priest's servant would came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of 3 teeth in his hand. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So he did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man to sacrifice, Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh for thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and they then took as much so much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer, nay, but thou shalt give me now. And if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin, look at this verse, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. The reason why I read all that was a couple things that kind of lay a foundation for the rest of the message. Here, Eli has been told by the man of God, and you're going to see in a little while that Eli, once again, had already been told, you need to take care of your sons. Your sons are doing wickedly, your sons are doing wrong. Eli goes and he reproves the sons, but he does not take them out of the leadership role. That's what Eli should have done. They did not get right. Eli's sons had done so much wrong and so much wickedness, it came to the spot where it says that for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. They hated to even come and do that sacrifice that should have been so special, that should have meant so much to them, that was the foreshadowing of the cross. It says that because of the way they were acting and the way they were being treated, the way that they took and did things the ungodly way, and the spiritual leaders of the day were doing things in such a way that it was causing the people that came to worship the Lord said, no, I hate even going there. I hate having a part of that. I don't want to be a part of that, because those men that are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the day are doing what's wrong. And I brought all that up for a reason. Does somebody not come to church because of the way you act? Now, don't get me wrong. If they don't come to church because of the fact that you're standing strong in the Bible, that's one thing. Or if they don't come to church because of their own sins and their own problems, okay. But have we gotten to the point where we do things in the name of God in such a way that says, you're not welcome here. We don't want someone like you. We want everyone to come to church. We want everyone to be right with the Lord. We want everybody to be part of the family of God. We want everyone to feel like they are welcomed at a church, because this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reach the gospel for all types of people. And when we come, and once again, I'm not saying doing what's right. These men were obviously doing what was wrong and was even challenging people and even threatening people. And they got to a spot that they were making people not want to come to church. Now, I've had some people come say, hey, I don't want to go to your church because of this reason or that reason. I had one person that they never mentioned it to me per se, but I heard that they were visiting the church and they stopped coming, and I tried to go visit with them, but they had mentioned to somebody else, I don't like going to that church, and here's the reason why, because when I go to that church, I feel bad. And it was talking about sin. And I don't like thinking about how people die and go to hell. I don't like having to think about that. And when you hear preaching and teaching that makes you think about people that are dying and going to hell, our response shouldn't be, let's stop going to that place. Instead, it should be, let's go out and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. So if someone stops coming to church because of the fact that they don't like what the Bible says or don't like the truth that is being presented, that's one thing. But in our behavior, if we're trying to push people away, that's a completely different thing. And what these guys are doing was, because of their hypocrisy, by performing a sacrifice to the holy God and was doing it in a way that was wicked, caused people to say they hate it to do the sacrifice. We need to be careful in our lives that we're not living a life. So, well, how can these two get to this spot? It's because one person stopped listening to God a long time ago. The important thing is we need to hear from God. If there is not a day and time in any other generation that needs to hear from the Lord, we need to hear from the Lord. We are facing times and challenges unlike anything else. We celebrate or we rejoice with the unborn about the decision and the overturning of Roe versus Wade. But you consider there is a lot of things ahead. What are we going to do next? What's next for us as believers and churches and as a country? We need to hear what the Lord wants. We need to be desperately seeking after God. And Eli chose, instead of removing his sons, he allowed his sons to continue on doing what was wrong and continue on doing what was wrong. He rebukes them, but his sons don't even pay attention to him. It causes people to abhor even coming, in a modern day sense, coming to church. Now, don't get me wrong. If they're not coming to church for the wrong reasons, okay. But I don't want to be a person that's going to stand in someone's way because of the way I treat them, saying that they don't feel welcome. We should be careful with that. Does that mean we sin? Of course not. Does that mean we do what's wrong? No. Do we become like the world so we can feel more people accept it? No. But we want to reach out to the world. And here, we see in the story in chapter 3, verse number 1, we say, what does that have to do with hearing from the Lord? That's what happens when we don't hear from God. We start doing things in the name of God, and we say, this is what God wants us to do, but we really haven't heard from him in such a long time. We've convinced ourselves. But we see this precious young man, Samuel, who ministered unto the Lord, who just went about serving. And I know he's not the priest at this time. He's not the judge. He's not the prophet. He's going to become someday a judge prophet as they transition from one spot to another spot. He's not that. What is he doing? He is just faithfully ministering unto the Lord. He is just faithfully serving the Lord. If you want to hear from the Lord, that's something you need to learn to do. Minister unto the Lord. Minister for the Lord, yes, but minister unto the Lord, seek his voice. And then look what it says at the end of verse number 1. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Now, this is a very, very dark time for the nation of Israel. There is a lot of wickedness out there. Remember Eli from chapter number 1 goes up to Hannah, who's praying, who's pouring out her heart. He hadn't done that for so long. He didn't know what it looked like to see someone who was praying with passion. That's where this nation is at. It says there is no open vision. It says that it was precious. That word precious there is referring to that it was scarce, meaning that it was hard to find, that there wasn't people living by the word of God. There wasn't people preaching the word of God. There wasn't people standing on the word of God. It was a very scarce in those days, and there was no open vision. What does that mean? That meaning that God was not speaking to anyone's hearts. And on that dark backdrop, you have this young boy who's there, and all he's doing is just serving the Lord. Don't ever come to the spot and say, just because I'm not the preacher, or just because I'm not singing special music, or just because I don't get to teach the Sunday school class, that I can't serve the Lord. You see this young man on the scene as he enters the scene. He's just ministering unto the Lord in a very dark time, and when it wouldn't look like it would make no difference, that's who God speaks to. That even in the darkest days, the person who is willing to minister unto him. And there was no open vision. There was no one that the Lord was speaking to their heart. Look what it says in verse number 2. And it came to pass that at the time when Eli lay down in his place and the eyes began to wax dim, that he could not hear. We know Eli and the challenges he has as the priest of the day. It kind of is symbolic that he's there and his eyes are growing dim, meaning he's turning a blind eye to all the things that are happening. And it says, an Aaron, the lamp of God, the one who was supposed to never go out, went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. So symbolically, it was saying, look how dark Israel was at that moment in time. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel and answered. He answered, here am I. The Lord speaks to someone. I believe the Lord is interested in speaking to all of us. I believe the Lord wants to speak to you through this message today. And I'm not saying in some loud audible voice, but I'm saying that as he encourages our heart with what is right and what is wrong. He encourages our heart to step forward, to take care of something or to give. I'm saying that he is trying to speak to our hearts today, but sometimes we drown him out. Here it says that he speaks to Samuel, here am I. In verse number 5, it says to Samuel, and he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I call not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. So Samuel's in one part of the tabernacle, and Eli's over here, and the Lord comes, and he stands beside Samuel and speaks to Samuel, and he says, Samuel, and he comes back, and he says, here am I. He runs to Eli because he doesn't recognize the voice of God. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again. I'm thankful the Lord calls us more than once. And I know in my own life, if the first time he called me to preach, I ran from it many times, but he continued to call. He says, Samuel, and Samuel arose and did the same thing and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I have called thee not, my son. Lie down again. Verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He's someone that he's still learning about God and learning to hear his voice. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. You say, Pastor, why didn't Eli get it the first time? Because he hadn't heard from God in a long time. Why didn't Eli get it the second time? It's because it's been a long time since he listened to God. Third time, Eli perceives, hey, this must be God. And Eli, I'm sure, is wondering, why isn't God speaking to me? Or maybe he's not even wondering that, but maybe he's saying, I remember back in the day when God used to speak to me. Let's keep on going. And he said, and he answered in verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel a third time, verse number 9, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called. I think that's kind of interesting. The Lord came. Isn't it amazing? God is there with us and stood and called us at other times. Samuel, Samuel. Now, if you go back and you study, there's not that many times where God uses two different names. It's named back to back. It's only God that does it. But shows the significance there. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. When the Lord speaks, that should be our response. Sign me up. Whatever it is you want, Lord, it may be tough, it may be hard, it may be something that I don't really want to do, but here it is. Lord, I'm your servant. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. You see, it's interesting here. He says, all the things I've spoken concerning his house. He says, who's he spoke that to? He's already told Eli. He told Eli, the man of God, earlier. And earlier before that, he spoke to Eli himself about getting his sons right. Eli chose to let those words just fall on deaf ears. Or Eli chose to do things his own way. He says, verse 13, for I have told him. He says, look, I told him this already. I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Now, if Samuel here is between the ages of 12 to 14, he is hearing from the voice of God for the first time in his life, and he's telling him Eli has done wrong. And of course, Samuel would have seen that. If Samuel has been ministering unto the Lord, Samuel would have seen what Hophni and Phinehas would have been doing. But he doesn't lean. He doesn't do what they do. He doesn't join up with the wrong things. Instead, he continues on ministering and continue on ministering unto the Lord. And it says that he's there in verse 15, and Samuel lay until the morning. I love that. In fact, he doesn't go busting into Eli's room and say, guess what? God's going to punish you. You know what he does with what God speaks to his heart? He lays there. He thinks about it. I think sometimes when we feel like God speaks to our heart, he wants us to jam something down somebody's throat. And if some of us would have got this message, there are some people out there who love to relish in someone else failing. And how they respond is they just turn around and just throw it in their face. That's not what Samuel does. Samuel here says, lay until the morning and open the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Of course he's going to have some concerns. How am I going to tell this person who's been taking care of me all these years that he's getting ready, him and his sons are getting ready to be judged by God? Look what it says in verse 16. And then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him, and said, it is the Lord. And he said, talking about Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You sit there and you read this, and he had a tough message to deliver. But what does he do with God's word? Doesn't water it down. But he does it, what I believe, in a very kind way, by not busting in at nighttime. Instead, it says he hid nothing from him. He said everything that the Lord said to him. He listened to the Lord, and he gave it all back to Eli. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we need to make sure we're giving people God's word. When God speaks to us, let us share that with others, but let us do it in a way that is kind. Let us do it in a way that is loving. Let us do it in a way that is full of grace, but also full of truth. He said everything. It says, verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. I like what it says in verse number 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Praise the Lord that we know he's with him. But look at that next phrase. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. There's an application there for both sides. If it's Samuel who is talking about the beginning of the verse, did not let any God's words fall to the ground, it's saying that whatever God told him, he did. I think that's a wonderful application. And the other application would be if it's the Lord who did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground, means whatever Samuel prophesied, that God caused it to happen because he was a prophet of God. But let's think about it for comparison's sake, Samuel versus Eli. Eli over here, the Lord had told him. The man of God came and told Eli, he heard from the Lord. Nope, I'm not going to do it. It was too hard. It was too tough. I did not want to put my sons in an uncomfortable spot or uncomfortable way. I didn't want to restrain them because I thought maybe they wouldn't like me. I don't know the reason behind all that. But then over here you got Samuel, who the Bible says that he did not let any of God's words drop to the floor, meaning that the things he heard from the Lord, he did. And so often when we're seeking for God to speak to our hearts and we're seeking for God to speak to our lives, we like to hear, but we don't like to do. And the Bible says that's a foolish man. The Bible even talks about those that hear those sayings of mine and doeth them. They're a wise man, but those that hear those sayings of mine and doeth them not, he's going to liken them unto a foolish man. And over here, Eli is caused this nation to go into horrible, horrible things. Why is that? Because he stopped listening to God. He stopped hearing from God. He started making his own decisions. He started doing things based off his own heart. And remember, a heart can be desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. He said, no, I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do my little bit. I'm going to do a little bit of correction. Maybe my sons will listen then. And the answer is they don't. We need to listen to the Lord. They should have removed those sons. Eli doesn't even turn to the Lord at this point in time. If I was Eli and God was speaking to Samuel, boy, I would have been seeking God. God, what are you saying to Samuel? Is there something I should learn? Is there something I should hear? I remember the first time I heard from you, Lord. No, there's none of that. And even when he talks about the judgment here, what happens? He turns around and he says, whatever the Lord says is good with me. And he's getting ready. He doesn't get right. You don't see any repentance there. So what does he do? He keeps God's word. God speaks to his heart. He says, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, sign me up. Over here, Eli's like, I hear, I know, I understand, but I'd rather take the punishment than do God's way. That's a dangerous place to be. And then look at that next verse. It goes and says in verse 20, and all of Israel from Dan to even to Beersheba. And it's great. It's all different types of groups of people, all different tribes, all different social statuses, all different wealth statuses. Samuel was established to be the prophet of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? That God had placed this man. Now, why would God bless him? It starts over here at the beginning. He speaks to the person who's willing to minister unto him, even before someone who is wicked. Even before Hophni, even before Phinehas, even before Eli, when nobody else is doing this right, Samuel still is. That's the type of person God can speak to. The type of person who will say, speak, Lord, for thy servant hears, saying, Lord, I want you to speak to me, because when you speak to me, the answer is going to be yes. I'm not just going to hear. I'm going to do what you say. Sign me up for whatever it is, Lord. Speak to my heart. And then you see that God is able to, he keeps that in verse number 19, that he did not let his words fall to the ground. He establishes the principle that when God speaks to his heart, he's going to be faithful in doing those. And God is able to use this man to make him a prophet of the Lord and someone who transitions from the time of the judges and the priests to the time of the prophets and the kings that become more predominant in those days and times later on. So after you hear all that, when's the last time you heard God speak to you? You can blame the preacher if you want, but Samuel was living in a day and a time there was no open vision at all. There was a time where it says that the word of God was precious. Now we think, yeah, the word of God is precious, but there it's talking about it was very, very scarce. There wasn't a lot of good preaching going on. There wasn't a lot of things going forth, but you still see this young man that is there, and he's ministering unto the Lord. The Lord sees that. The Lord sees something in him that he can use. The Lord knows him. The Lord knows his heart. He says, there's someone, when I give him direction, when I give him words, he's going to listen. And then he looks over, and you see a guy like Hophni and Phinehas that was well past ever hearing from the Lord. And Eli, the one that was supposed to show them and teach them, was the one that said, I hear what the Lord says. And I might follow a little bit, but I don't want to go whole hog. It's a dangerous place to be. Don't fool yourself when you hear from the Lord. Obey. You need to learn how to silence the voices that are around us. There are so many times people that are trying to buy for your attention. Think about the people you work for have an opinion. Your family has an opinion. Your politicians or your America has an opinion. Even your church family may have an opinion. And there's friends out there that may have an opinion. There's enemies out there that have an opinion. There's people who just want to be nosy that have an opinion. And you will hear tons and tons of different opinions, but there is one who is not going to compete with them. There is one who you're going to have to go and seek and ask for. And there is one who is more important than anyone else, and that is the voice of God. And sometimes you have to learn how to say, I'm turning this one off and turning this one off and turning this one off. And it's not the fact I'm ignoring them, but I'm going to silence all those things that are around me so I can just turn and listen to the Lord. I need to hear from God. And I need for him to speak to my heart. I need for him to hear my prayers. And I need for him to give me leadership and him give me direction. And he tells us in his word how that happens. And you see the example here of Samuel. Samuel was one who was ministering unto the Lord, and he was willing and able to hear from him. When's the last time you really truly heard from God? Let me remind you of the illustration at the beginning. And it was kind of interesting. You think back there in those days that Sam Jones, as an evangelist in the 1800s, he uses things like the roar of commerce, the click of the telegraph, the whistle of the engine. None of those things apply to us today. It's like, right, who cares about commerce or the telegraph? That's nothing, the engine. Think about it. Is it the app of our smartphone, the news of the television, the chaos of Wall Street? Is it the busyness of our schedules, the demands of our times, our calls to leisure? Are all those things drowning out the voice of God? Are all those things, see, Pastor, I haven't heard from the Lord in a long time. He's willing and able to speak to you. He, not only willing and able, he wants to speak to you. He has given you his spirit to teach you and lead you and guide you. Do not silence him when it comes to certain things in our lives. Do not silence him when it comes to salvation. Some people say, oh, I can do it my own way. And they ignore when God speaks to their heart. You need this. You need this. And he said, nope, I don't need it. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and God speaks to your heart about a need that's there for salvation. Don't continue to say no, because we have no idea what tomorrow is going to be like. So promise to tomorrow. When it comes to service, do not drown out the voice of God with all your activities. There is a call to service, and that is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a call when it comes to separation, and you're going to have a bunch of people in the world that tells you, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you don't have to worry about this, you don't have to worry about that, but he has made us a specific people. He calls us a peculiar treasure. He calls us a peculiar people. He calls us a holy nation. He calls us a royal priesthood. He tells us to come out from among them. He has never intended for us to look and act like the world. He never has. He has said that all throughout his word. But that's what so often we want to fit in. We want to be just like everybody else. And that's a very dangerous and challenging time. But we have learned to drown out that because we hear so many speakers and we read so much things that tell us differently than the voice of God. Understand, God speaks to his children. Let us not fool ourselves. Instead, let us seek to hear after God. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, they shall find me. So let me encourage you today. Trust in the Lord of all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. When's the last time you heard from God? I mean, seriously, you knew the Lord was speaking to your heart. This past week, I like Brother Barnhouse. I have told him before, I think he's a little bit goofy. Some of the things he does, we would not agree on exactly everything when it comes to every little thing he does. He has a little bit of a different perspective on some things than I do, but when he preaches, I hear from the Lord. The Lord speaks to my heart. This past week, he encouraged the young people, and he was talking to them about dreaming. What do you mean dreaming? About what the Lord can do with your life. He talked about those that stayed on the other side of Jordan versus those that went into the promised land. And all throughout the week, he talked about people that God allowed them to be used in a special way. And how they were able, the Reubenites and the other ones that wanted to stay on the other side missed out on the greater blessings that was there for them in the promised land. And the encouraging thought behind it was, at least what the Lord spoke to my heart is, boy, we can dream about a lot of things. We have no problem imagining what it would be like to be rich. I mean, the reality is, haven't we all thought about that someday? There's somebody in our church that sometimes, boy, if I had $1 million, I would do this and I would do that. And we've all done that before. I give this much to the church. He said, I give this to you, Pastor, and I do this for your family. I do this. And I think that's wonderful. That's great. It's imagining that. But sometimes that becomes vain, doesn't it? Now, have you ever thought, if my life was surrendered, I wonder what God could do with it? I wonder what God could do with a life that was completely surrendered. I wonder what God could do and dream if God would allow me to win someone to Christ this week and I go out and do everything I can to try to win someone to Christ. Have we ever given consideration to what we could do, or excuse me, what God could do through us? And the dreaming part of this, we dream about aspirations for our kids to be a president or to be maybe an NBA star, or maybe, I don't know, one of the kids that were there this week told me, I went around and asked them, you know, pastor that's annoying, ask them what they want to do when they grow up. One of the young people said, I'm not sure, I either want to be an actor or a bounty hunter. I'm thinking, wow, that's and there's nothing, and once again, they're young and that's great, but how about for us? Have we ever dreamed about what God could do with our children if they were sacrificed? And they're not in the idea physically, but we surrendered them to him. I mean, that's what Hannah did here with Samuel, right? Brought him back to the temple because of the promise he made. And look what Samuel did. Even though Hophni and Phinehas and Eli, none of them were really spiritual leaders, but this Samuel got it. Why is that? He heard from the Lord. And is it, I don't know if dreaming is the right word. Joseph was a dreamer. But it is considering what God can do with a surrendered life. And you see it all throughout the Bible. There was, David was out there. Hey, look, if there's a Goliath out there, God, if you want me to go out there, sign me up. I'm ready. I'll go. Gideon's that's out there and is fighting the battle, and Gideon took some extra encouraging, but God kept on working with him, but he listened to the Lord. He had a one-on-one conversation, but that's why God spoke to people. Abraham, Jacob, other people, like he was speaking to a friend. He said, I don't have that. God does want to speak to your heart, and you can have a conversation with him. In this still, small voice, God speaks. But have we been listening? Or has the noise of this world just drowned all those things out? I know back in New Fellowship Hall, there's some people that can't hear very well because there's so much noise going around. And that's what we put up those wonderful soundboards that we have back there against the wall so the sound doesn't bounce off. And it's like, Pastor, it's horrible back here. You know, I can't hear because of all the noise that's around us. And I think that's sometimes what we do with God. We have so much noise that's around us. We don't take the time to hear from him. Take some time alone. Silence the voices in your life. You say, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with direction, but be careful where you get your direction from. Samuel ran to who? He ran to Eli. Well, who else was he supposed to go to? Well, God used Eli to perceive and say it was the Lord, but he ran to Eli. Don't be running to Eli's for spiritual advice. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart. He will. If there's someone you admire spiritually and you love them because you know they love the Lord, that's the person you can talk to. But first and foremost, be seeking after the Lord. You say, Pastor, I haven't heard from the Lord in a long time. What a good time to reacquaint yourself with. And you say, well, Pastor, there's something in me that's saying, I haven't heard from him, but I really want to. You know who's speaking to you? And that's the Lord. Because it doesn't make any sense to the world to think that God, the universe, would actually speak to our hearts. But he's longing for that fellowship for you and with you. So this morning, if God's speaking to your heart, don't be like Eli and let the words fall to the ground. Be like Samuel. He didn't let any of those words fall to the ground. And if you say that was the Lord, okay. He didn't let any of the words fall to the ground. He told Eli everything that he was told. He didn't hide anything. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Are you listening to the Lord? Now, I'm not saying are you listening to your best friend. I'm not saying if you're listening to your family. I'm not even saying are you listening to your pastor. Has God been speaking to your heart? And he's going to direct you to those right people. But let me encourage you, seek the voice of the Lord. Let's pray. Dearly Father,